Thank you. It's supposed to be springtime in Indiana, even though the weather says otherwise. And around this time every year is also the time where school starts to let out for a year in May, going into June. Some people graduate different things. I think we just had a young one graduate from a class back there in the back up to our meeting room here. Welcome, Aria. It's a common time where people talk about future in life and graduation. And I've taught different lessons in the past, and I prepared one this morning that I've been working on for a while and wanting to deal with the difference between serving Christ and serving career, Christ versus a career. And I want to talk about this religion, this sacred cow in our society that really creates a tension between two faiths, that if we're not careful in the church, it might affect how we think and how we choose to do things in our life, okay? So, job versus career. This is going to be one of the idolatries, and already I'm talking pretty heavy about idols and idolatry, all right? This is one of the idolatries that grips our culture and sits quietly in our churches. It's not one of those idolatries that screams at you and says, hey, against Jesus. It doesn't do that. It sits in church right next to you and is quiet while you talk about Jesus and sing about Jesus and do things for Jesus. But it's an idol because ultimately people sacrifice and worship it above the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll try to describe how that looks like today. So there is a warning with this. In me talking about such a subject, it might arise in people a certain sort of tension, right? It's a sacred cow. It's really a bull that when you provoke it, it will charge you, and people will get really angry that you're talking about this thing that's so important to their life, okay? There is only one thing that is the most important thing in our life, at least should be, and one of the reasons we come here is to remind ourselves of that, okay, in our lives as Christians. So what is a career? The dictionary defines a career as an occupation, especially one requiring special training. It's one's life work. It's somewhat of a mixture of everything you've done in your life working toward a singular goal. It's a journey of your life work that you can define as, this is what I did with my life. That's your career. And that's how people use the term. Now, a job is often spoken of differently than a career. So we'll just point that out at the outset here. A job, in contrast, according to the experts about such things, is a short-term position you take, a job that you take, a task you take, mainly for money. So you have a job, and that's for money. You're not doing it because it's your life's passion or your life's calling. It's not really helping you with your personal growth. It's not on the trajectory of your career. It's just a job. Now, you might have multiple jobs in your career, right? And you want those jobs to line up according to the career thinking. And so a career is a long-term, not a short-term. It's a long-term professional journey of your ambition. It's your passion and calling that drives you towards this career. And it sets a growth path for your life so that you can end your career successfully. And that's the difference between a career and a job, as it's popularly communicated, okay? And what I'd like to suggest here at the beginning is that the importance of career, if not a good career, is over-exaggerated. It is culturally impressed on people above that of Christ, which is to say that the culture would have you pursue successful career over would have you pursue a successful life in Christ. One is more heavily impressed upon people, including Christians. That sits right there next to you at church because, yeah, listen to Jesus, talk to Jesus, sing about Jesus, go to church. That could be a good part of your career. But your career is what you sacrifice everything for, right? This is this idea. So I want to unpack this a little bit today and tell us the difference so you can discern clearly the difference between Christ and career. They are not the same. And the modern Christian idea that God has a special calling for your life that concerns your career is exactly the open door that this idolatry has entered the church by. Yeah. Right? God has a calling, and it has nothing to do with your career. Right? And that's when the cows turn into oxen and start chasing me down. It's like, no, no, Justin, you're wrong. My career is determined by Christ. Show me the verse. Right? Show me the place in the Bible where it says that. And what happens to those people who change their career? Are they against Christ? You see, it doesn't work out, but this is the faith, the religion of career that's taught to us in our culture, okay? So I'm going to talk about the two faiths that they create, Christ and career, the two paths that they present to you, Christ and career, the two minds they can give you, Christ and career, and eventually the two hopes that they provide for you, if it's a hope at all, Christ versus career. You'll see one is very vain. One is very self-centered. One is touted as the of how you should live your life, and yet it ends up giving you nothing. The other is diminished, is hidden, is acquiesced to, and yet it is everything to you if you would actually submit to it. Okay? And so I want to appeal to you to increase your faith in Christ, not your career. One of these two faiths, one of these two religions, tries to orient your life around your career. And just saying that seems so natural in our American culture. Your life should be oriented around your career. There's many other things that can distract you. You can have a job, one off there just to earn some money, just temporarily while you're working on your career. But if anything affects your career, you need to decide whether that's important for your career. This is why earlier today we talked about families and marriage. And even that is subject to your career. So make sure it doesn't affect your career. Make sure you have your career in your marriage. And if your marriage affects your career, maybe you shouldn't get married, right? And this is the general advice given in the religion of career. The other faith orients your life around Christ and serving him. And so likewise, if something affects your life in Christ, maybe you should reconsider it. If something interferes with you living life in Christ, maybe you should reconsider it. But again, that admonition isn't really heavily impressed upon you that often. There is work that concerns a career as God. And that's what really the idea of career is, or the religion of career, as I'm trying to talk about it. It's making your work your God. Okay, that's what it is. It's defining you by your job. It's saying the most important thing that your life can be defined as, when you have that dash between two dates in your tombstone, is his or her career. What did they do in this life? Okay, that's what makes you worthy or not. If you can be remembered for the success you did in your career, that's your worth. That's what religion of career says. Okay, it's actually your hope as well. If you succeed in your career faith, then you have the hope of retirement, the hope of ease of life, financial independence. You have a hope. That's why people put so much effort into their career, because there's a hope at the end of it. All right, so there's a hope there as well. So trust the career path. Build your resume. Achieve titles that you need, training, credentials, riches, ultimately financial independence, and a beach, right? In Psalm chapter 10, you say, how do I choose a career? Well, what has God put on your heart? Or as the cyclist would say, what is on your heart? There's no difference between those two sayings, because God doesn't simply put things in your heart. He speaks things in his words. But Psalm 10 verse 3, David writes and says, the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. And that strikes us the wrong way, because it's against the cultural religion of career. Career says, pursue what your heart wants, right? Follow your heart. And the Bible says, the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. Because the biblical premise is that we are sinful. And if you just let things go and whatever I desire and lust for in this life, I'm going to pursue, that's wickedness. You need to learn how to be saved by God's grace, to know the wisdom and knowledge of the truth, so that your life can be oriented around truth and God and Christ. And from that, we'll see, will produce the things that you'll look for and can never attain with a career. Psalm 10, verse 3, the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses, notice here, the covetous. I want to show you how the Bible actually warns against this idea of a religion of a career. But it doesn't use the word career. This is a word that is only in the modern sense used the way we're describing it, especially in America, okay? But the Bible always, everywhere, warns against this thinking, because it's at odds with thinking about serving Christ. The wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous. You know what blessing the covetous looks like? That guy had a successful career. Look at how many cars, houses, families, and yachts. That's what it looks like. Forget the yachts. Hardly anyone has yachts. So I just want to be financially independent at a young age. What's wrong with this? Blessing the covetous is what that looks like. It's not about money. Life is not about your money. Life is not about your success in your career. It's not. And yet that's what's told people from a very young age. Okay, if you don't have a good career, what are you doing with your life? You're failing in life. Really? Is my life about my career? The Bible says no. This world says yes. You see the difference? Look at Psalm 49. As old as Psalm 49, you see, look at the language here that it used to speak about this mindset. Psalm 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of riches, that's the hope of a successful career in part, if not the accolades and recognition and contribution. He says in verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. It doesn't matter how successful your career is, you can never save your brother, redeem him before God. You can't. Where do you get redemption? Where do you get reconciliation? Where do you get forgiveness? Where do you get love? Where do you get peace in life? Not from those who trust in wealth and boast in the multitude of riches. It cannot buy these things. You cannot achieve and attain these things through the path of career. He says in verse 8, the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever. The most important thing in your life is your soul, not your career, right? That he should still live forever and not see corruption. How are you going to redeem your brother? For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish. Everyone dies, is what verse 11 says, 10 and 11 say. How does career help you with that? Well, it doesn't. In fact, if you get really sick, it really ruins your career, right? It really ruins it. Well, this is a problem because this doesn't help you. In verse 11, it says, or verse 10 rather, it says the brutish person perish, the wise man perish, and leave their wealth to other people. So you worked your whole life for a successful career, and when you die, and everyone knows this, you take nothing with you, but you don't really think about it because you sacrificed your whole life to attain a thing that you might have lived a few years, and then when you die, you pass it to someone else who did not work for it. So what does this mean? Does career matter if you have trust fund babies, right? Well, now they just inherited $1 billion, and they didn't do anything for it, right? So what's career in that guy's mind? He has no career. He just inherited a bunch of wealth. He already arrived at the end. What's it do for him? Nothing. It doesn't save a soul. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names, streets, buildings after their own names. I have a legacy, right? My career is to create an impact in this world and have a legacy, leave a legacy behind me. The greatest legacy and impact you can have in this world is pursuing and following Christ and what he provides. Amen. And we'll see this later in the lesson. If you serve Christ and have faith in Christ, the hope that he gives will leave you with a legacy of souls saved, saints edified, you knowing the truth, living and dying in peace forever. Career cannot provide any of this. Right? And yet, people live through life at different stages of their career. And if they're doing that right, we say, good job with your career. Okay. Verse 12, nevertheless, man being in honor abides not. He is like the beast that perish. So even the man who has honor in his career perishes like the beast. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave of their dwellings. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. There is no career that can do that for you. It's a reality, folks. Death will happen. You say, well, yeah, a long way down the road after my career, right? But there's a purpose before you die that God has for you, and it's not your career. All right. Verse 16, be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. You say, but there's so many people with successful careers. He dies like everyone else. Okay. That guy's a trillionaire. He's a billionaire. And he dies like everyone else, has the same problems as everyone else. Okay? And there's things that his riches cannot purchase for you. Verse 18, though while he lives, he blesses his soul, and men will praise thee. When thou doest well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. He says, when you're alive, people praise these men for their success. And then they die, and they're not redeemed. They didn't attain truth, salvation. They didn't receive that. So you see, this is the faith of career, trusting resume, titles, training credentials, and riches, right? This is the idea, and thinking that is what makes your life honorable. It's amazing how often degrees and credentials are used to cover up stupidity and ignorance and, quite frankly, laziness. So what do you mean laziness? Because in some professions, again, professions, career, right, simply getting a degree gives you entrance into a certain status in society, right? You say, well, yeah, but degrees mean something. What do they mean when you can't get them without the money? What do they mean when anyone can get them even with the money? What do they mean that even when you get a degree, it doesn't guarantee success or wisdom? You see, degrees are becoming more and more meaningless, right? It's a whole economic situation there. But people, when someone comes to you and touts their credentials, folks, when anyone comes up to you and says, well, I have this degree, that certificate. Okay, be very careful, because it's often to hide their lack of ability. You understand? And I know people in academia hate that saying. you know, those that don't do teach, right? We need teachers. I'm all for universities and studying and learning and training and skills, okay? And yet, when people tout their credentials, what they're not doing is showing you that they can actually do the work, okay? If someone teaches you wisdom, they don't have to tell you that it's wisdom by touting their degrees. You see the difference, right? We read the scripture, God doesn't have degrees after his name. You see the difference? I mean, who authorized him? He's God. So when someone preaches truth from the Bible, how do you know it's true? Because it's true, it's from scripture. So it's not just because that guy had 5 seminary degrees. Does that make sense? But career does teach you to get the titles and degrees and riches. We mentioned last week the America Reads Through the Bible program that was popular a week and a half ago, and looking through the 400 and some people that were reading the scriptures that were designated to do that, and they were popular people in careers that had achieved things, and I jokingly said it'd been neat to have one of the readers simply have under its name Christian. Everyone had a name and had what they did, president, CEO, you know, celebrity, that whatever it was, just to have a dude that said Christian underneath it with no accolades, no career, but Christian, because the Bible was made for people that believe it. Not simply those with careers, you see. But everyone knows people in careers. We look up to them because they've succeeded at what? The faith of career. They've reached priesthood. They've reached heaven of career religion, you know. But many people of faith in the scripture will have more riches and glory than many people with successful careers. Okay. These are two different faiths that people are taught to trust in. Work as God does not serve you very well. Okay. Work as God does not get you what you're trusting in, but work is good. And so let's deal with that for a moment. Work's not God, but work is good. Some people hear this and they say, well, Justin, people got to work. Yes, the Bible actually teaches that. The Bible teaches you how to work, actually. It teaches you why to work, the purpose for work. But work is not God. Your career is not God. Work is good, however. Acts 20, verse 34, Paul himself said to the elders in Ephesus, you see with my hands how I worked with my hands to provide for my own necessities. Paul worked. He boasted in it, okay? In Ephesians 4:28, Paul says, let them that stole steal no more, that he may work with his hands and have to give to those that need. So one way that generosity functions in the scripture and gracious to other people is that some people work and other people who can't, people who work can help them willingly, freely, by the fruit of their hands. And so you have generosity and giving, as they purpose in their heart, based on the work that they do. And that's a good thing to replace your desire to steal with, is you actually earning the thing that you have. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 28. In 1 Timothy, chapter 2, Paul's talking to Timothy a lot about work and what he should do. He's a young man, and Timothy could be influenced by the world and what gives him status, and especially as there's people older than him and he wants to gain honor and esteem among them, trying to follow their religion of career so that he gets some sort of standing before them may be attractive. But Paul tells him to first of all pray. Pray for all that are in authority, all that are above you, all that you think have esteem and status and authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That includes work, working quietly, working peaceably. I just want to work and provide for me and my family. And this used to be a normal and godly way of living. Yeah. But now it's career. Now it's do for you and be the best and make sure you get special training because nothing else matters in life. And if you have a good career, you're above other people who don't. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul tells people to provide for his own, especially for those of his own house. Well, how do you provide for your own family? You gotta work. Well, how do I work? What should I do? These are good questions that you can figure out for the purpose of providing for your family. But don't use this first to justify the religion of career. See, Paul says to work. He says provide for your own. So I'm going to sacrifice my family for my career because the verse says I need to provide for my family. That doesn't work. Work as good in the Bible and work as God are not compatible. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this whole chapter, Paul is talking about the work he's done to provide for them, like mothers and fathers, like parents. You're going to find what a godly mother and father look like? Read 1 Thessalonians 2, because Paul says, I'm like both to you. I'm like a godly nurse and a godly father to you, and he explains why that is. And in both of them, it's because he puts so much work and effort into helping them as he would children. Is what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. He admonishes the same people that you study to be quiet. You say, study, you should go to school. Well, there's lots of things to study, but you study here is to be quiet, not to make a boast of yourself and your career. To do your own business. Well, there it is. There's my career. Got to do it. To work with your own hands, we commanded you. Why? Verse 12, that you may walk honestly towards those that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. There's a purpose behind why the Bible and Paul admonishes us to work with our hands. It's to create a quiet and peaceable society and life so that we can walk in service to the Lord. That's why work exists. And in that way, having a job is a godly thing. Earlier, I defined what a job was, short-term position, mainly for money. That used to be what was necessary for everyone and what is godly in the Bible. But now it's frowned upon, getting a J-O-B, you know. You need a career, something that matters. That is faith being preached at you. Do not believe it, okay? Working a job for money, to provide for your family, to do ministry is the most godly thing you can do in work. Making work your God is idolatry. Replacing Christ with your career is idolatry, okay? Because that doesn't do what you think it will do. It doesn't fulfill the hope that it preaches at you. But Paul says work is good. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, there were some who were not working, though they could, and he says in 2 Thessalonians, he told them, if you don't work, you don't eat. Remember that? You got to work. We command you, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Well, what's the tradition here? For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us in this way. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, for nothing. But we wrought, we worked with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. There's responsibility Paul's preaching here about himself. He's responsible for himself. Even though the brothers and sisters in Christ would gladly provide for him in different ways, he says, I work for myself. And people who don't work for themselves, even don't work for themselves claiming because God wants me not to work, right? You really got to think what God's instructing here. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You see? And so this is one of the first verses my son learned. And yesterday we talked about this. We were working at the building and we had lunch and one of the kids said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Kids need to know that, right? You need to work, okay? For a purpose that is not to serve work itself. It's not the work you do to provide for your family and money that is the most important thing in your life. Now, that being said, people really tout the religion of career, and they say, well, look, if people dedicate their lives to certain service and work, they can benefit a lot of people in the world. And it's true. At the work of people's hands, the world has been benefited, right? And I'm telling you, all of that worldly benefit, okay, is shadowed by the benefit that comes from your primary purpose of serving Christ and your family, right? People don't see that. They don't see your service to Christ or your service to your family. You don't get to boast in it. You don't get in a textbook saying, that guy served his family. No, you read about the guys who had the inventions and the big businesses. But one service is superior to the other, okay? Because if we had more people serving their family and serving Christ, you'd have more peace and quiet in the world, right? And you might even have godly inventions instead of the ungodly things we're seeing now. Most of modern technology is the result of our selfishness in our flesh to give us convenience to comfort ourselves, right? They're finding this out now. Smartphones, social media, internet, a lot of those technologies, even though there's benefits to using them, okay, are serving people's flesh. We need people more oriented around Christ. Amen. That's the faith we should preach and we should follow. So trusting career path or trusting Christ? Christ is your salvation. Christ is your life. Christ is your purpose. Christ gives you an inheritance. That's the message we preach. That's the message we should not only believe, but practice. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Look what Paul says here. Notice this in the context of whether you should trust career path or trust Christ. You read Paul and you think, well, he's always talking about Christ. He's a churchy guy. You know, he's just a religious type of guy. No, he's in a world like you're in a world, the same world that has the same lusts and desires, the same pursuits and alternative paths of hope. And he's communicating to the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Thessalonians that you might be tempted to serve that. He says, instead, serve this, Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. You didn't get it from your career. You won't get it from your career. You say, well, no, I'm working pretty good. I got a good 401k here. That inheritance pales to what you get here. And it won't last you when you die, and you can't pass it on. We covered that in Psalm 49. in Christ you get an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So whatever career path you dreamed up or copied after your mentor on earth is simply a career path to serve humanity. But this is a purpose that you have to serve the God of eternity. Little different career, right? I taught a lesson years ago called the career path of an ambassador, trying to use worldly language to talk about who you really are in Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. The Bible doesn't use the word career. In verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of everyone in our field, of God's glory. That's the alternative. Who first trusted in Christ. First you trust in Christ. Then the hope here is that you're the praise of God's glory because of his grace. Verse 13, you trust in Christ after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you are sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise. When you heard the gospel that saved you, that you're a sinner and couldn't save yourself, and there's no hope in this world but in Jesus Christ, he died for your sins and rose from the dead. You trusted him. You trusted what he did. You receive his grace. You receive salvation. You're sealed. You're marked with the Holy Spirit. And what's it say? You now have the promise of an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You know, they used to give pensions when people worked at jobs. This is at like the height of the career religion, right? Work a career for 30, 40 years and get a pension for the rest of your life, you know. They don't do that anymore, right? One less hope that career cannot give you is a guaranteed pension. Ephesians 1, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of God's glory. You can have one trust in Christ and have the Spirit dwell in you and have the lessons it teaches you and live a life of God's love, joy, and peace for eternity, or you can trust career and whatever inheritance and riches it provides you. This is the alternative. Many Christians don't even think there's a choice to make. It's like, well, they can go together. I can serve Christ and career. Jesus said something about that, didn't he? Serving God or mammon. You can't have two masters, right? And that doesn't mean you pick one and not the other. It means you subject one to the other. That's what that means. Some people read the serve God or mammon and say, well, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to work. That's not how you serve God. You serve God by subjecting your work to his purpose. That's how you do that, okay? And that's how Paul explains it. You are first an ambassador. There's one thing that God wants you to do, and it's not your career, right? So you prioritize that. Ephesians 1, verse 18, look what Paul prays for here. He prays that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. They may know what is the hope of a successful career. No, but the world preaches that. It really does. Think about the decisions you make and why you make them. Like, what is the purpose why you make the choice you make regarding your work, your career? What is the end goal? What is the hope? Paul says, I would have your eyes open to the hope that you have in Christ Jesus, the holy calling that you have, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. Why is he talking about riches and callings here? Because the world talks about riches and calling. That's what career is. It's your calling in this life to obtain the riches that allow you to live independently according to what your heart desires. That's a career. What's Christ? It's the riches you get in Christ. You get an inheritance to serve him in your life according to what he desires. It is contradictory. You will serve one or the other ultimately, right? And you need to be aware of that, that the choices you make are subject to one or the other. Now, you might ask, well, how do I know if I'm worshiping one or the other? How you know is what you sacrifice things to. We'll cover that in a little bit here. What inevitably happens among many Christians, if not the world, is that Christ himself, and like I said, this is an idol that sits along with you in church, is that Christ and serving Christ and orienting your whole life around Christ becomes like a neglected child, right? If you were one or you've done that to a child, you understand that a child is there, they're your child, and you neglect the child because you have your own purposes, right? You're doing something. This is what Christ becomes when you serve the God of career. Christ becomes just another neglected child. You neglect other children. It's like, well, yeah, he's mine, and I keep him with me, and you know, but I sacrifice all for my career. And that's what it looks like if you have faith in a career. There's two paths that these two faiths communicate. And parents from a young age, because of the culture, it's not because the parents necessarily are malicious or want what's bad for their children. It's just the culture has now taught this faith so well and so deceptively that people think this is just how it is. Parents teach the faith of the career to their children and then wonder why their children leave church. Okay? I'll tell you why. It's because church is not where you find a career. Church is not where you grow your career. Church is not where you advance in your career, despite how some churches use church that way. Have you ever heard about going to church and networking with people, right? Or choosing to have a career in the church? This is language foreign to the Bible, folks. This is not what the church is for. We're not a group of networkers so that we can all advance each other's career. So if you're selling pickles for Jesus, come to church and everyone will buy them because they love you because they're in Christ. That's not how it is. We're here because of Christ. Amen. Do you understand? So it's a different situation. But parents teach their children the faith of career subtly, accidentally, not even purposely. That's just what the culture does. And then as the children grow up and serve career, they go, well, why isn't my kid coming to church? I guess it's just natural. I guess it's natural when they get to the beginning of their career, they depart from church. It is not natural, okay? It's not natural because they weren't taught salvation properly, how to walk in Christ properly, how to love Christ above all else and serve him above everything else. Instead, what they were taught was this. See if this sounds familiar. You ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, you ask a child when they're 3 years old this. What do you want to be when you grow up? And they tell them, well, doctors, lawyers, astronauts, a zookeeper, anything you want to be, you can be. That is the introduction to faith in career. What do you mean, what do I want to be? The kids don't even know what it means. You have to tell them, oh, there's different options here. There's jobs that people do. And you shouldn't do some ordinary job like a cashier. You should do like some important career thing, right? You teach this to children. And that's the beginning. And they go, yeah, I want to be a fireman when I grow up. Why don't they want to be a servant of God when they grow up? Well, you don't necessarily get paid for that unless you're in a mega church, and then it's career, right? It's not about career. This is the subtle deception that will lead someone to trust career over Christ. Okay. You need to find your place in this world. It's what you tell older kids that they're not finding a direction. You need to find your place in this world. You need to get some important career, right? Make something of yourself. All of this language not only is demeaning to people, but it also is against the instruction of Christ. Amen. I don't make something of myself. Christ makes me who I am in the Beloved. Amen. God in the Beloved. And I don't need to find my place in this world. I need to find a place in the membership of God's will in the body of Christ. I need to find a place in the church as a saved individual walking with others, ministering and serving for the Lord. But again, that's not how church is communicated. Church is a thing that'll teach you morals and that will keep you feeling loved. And it could be a place that can further your career if you find someone in the church, because God's gifted us all with different things. And that's how church is used. Find your calling. There's whole departments at local universities about finding your calling. And by that, they mean your career. They even call it career and calling. Because isn't that what a career is? God's calling on your life. No, a career is your choice, what you want to do with your life. God's calling for your life is found in the scripture, and it's the same for everybody. Amen. You say, well, that doesn't make me special. Exactly. That puts you in Christ. But you see, this faith is taught from a young age. It's taught in our culture. Everyone thinks and knows this. That's what it sounds like. That is the doctrine of career. Okay? What you do to advance or grow in your career is you listen to mentors, parents, teachers, other people in the profession, the field that you want to go in. You listen to mentors who inevitably have used time and chance to get where they want to go. I know this because if it were true that it wasn't time and chance and something that career could happen to everybody, it would be as simple as falling after an awful log. But that's part of the deception. You want to be X, such and so? Here's what you do. You go to college. You go to school. They will give you a degree in X. You will graduate from said school and then get a job in that field. That doesn't happen. It's a deception. They are graduating too many people for too many dream jobs that don't exist. That's a fact. Okay? It's a false hope. Well, sometimes it works. I go to school and learn plumbing. I got a plumbing job. Yeah. Get trained. Do work. Okay? Don't serve the God of career. Don't present a false hope. Preach the reality. Not everyone goes to college. Not one has to. Right? And it's not true. Colleges will even tell you this if you push them. They don't market this. But colleges do not guarantee you a job, let alone a career. They're selling you degrees. degrees teaching you things that originally came from the Middle Ages where they studied theology. But that isn't taught in schools anymore. So we teach you certain things that we'll give you on a piece of paper that you can show your employer. But that's not a guarantee of a job. So you get so many people with degrees now that apply for jobs and, well, they all got degrees, you know. Now you have to differentiate what? How do you differentiate yourself to get a job? You need to, your resume, right? Get more accolades, more titles. Right. This is serving career. Again, Justin, are you saying that we should not try to get jobs? No, I've already talked about this, right? We're talking about making your life oriented around this subject. All right. Study to get to college. Go to college, get a good entry-level job, grow in that career, achieve things, and then retire. That is the faith of career. That's the path. And you recognize this? You might have been on it. Might be on it. Might have seen other people on it. What's the difference between that and what the Bible says is normal life, according to Christ? Is that that's not all your life is. Okay? This is not what your life is about. That does not define your life. All right? Christ teaches you to know his grace, his wisdom, his spirit, to walk in charity and truth. See, yeah, I'll do that in between my career. I'll do that when I'm done with my career. You know, this is where you get the mindset where old people go to church. Because they follow the religion of career until they stop their career, and then suddenly they can do whatever they want in retirement, and one of the things they might want to do is, yeah, I think I'll serve Christ now for the remaining years of my life. And they go to church. But you know what? They just lost the most productive years of their life to not serving Christ but their career. Okay? Old people can still serve Christ. Right? We're talking about those who are starting their career, right? But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul says, you have not so learned Christ, after talking about the Gentiles and the world who, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves, they've sacrificed their life over to what? Lasciviousness, whatever they want, to work all uncleanness. They don't care about purity as long as they can get their goal, greediness. That's what those words describe. We read those words and we say, oh, yeah, we're not greedy. Greedy describes some fat cat with $1 billion in a smoky room, you know, trying to cheat people of money. No, greediness looks like you need to get the highest paying job that you can get. That's greediness. Well, that's it for a bit. Because that's instruction lots of people tell their children. Get the highest paying job you can get. Well, why wouldn't I? Here, I give you a lot of reasons why you wouldn't. If it affects why you're how you can minister to Christ, you wouldn't. Okay? If a choice between two jobs, one pays higher, one pays less, and one means that you cannot be involved in church ministry, and the one says you can, you got to think about what choice you're making here for money. That's what greediness looks like. People are greedy every day. It's not just the wealthiest people that are greedy, okay? Lasciviousness is what your heart desires. Well, maybe you should consider what God desires. See, it's a subtle distinction between career and Christ, but a very important one because they're two different gods, right? Look at Colossians chapter 3. And again, notice the language of Colossians in regards to the worldly idea we're talking about this morning. Colossians 3, in verse 5, says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You are members of the body of Christ, is what Paul teaches. That's who you are. He said, no, I'm a banker. I'm a baker. I'm a candlestick maker. No, that's not who you are. You're a member of the body of Christ. Mortify your members upon the earth. What members are those? Fornication? Oh, yeah, no one fornicates, right? Pornography is not a third of the internet usage. No one fornicates, right? Uncleanness, inordinate affection. Like inordinate affection, what does that even mean, inordinate affection? Not setting your affections on things above? Amen. That's what he said 3 verses earlier. If the affections, goals, hopes, dreams, pursuit of your life are not things above, Colossians 3 verse 1 and 2, then your affection is inordinate. You've got the order wrong, you see? And that looks like people pursuing their career. That looks like people pursuing anything, okay, above Christ. Evil concupiscence and covetousness. There's covetousness again. We saw it in Psalm 49. No one's covetous anymore. Thou shalt not covet, the 10th commandment, right? Nobody's covetous. Yes, you're all covetous. I translated that commandment to my son this way, because when you're children, sometimes they're like, what's covetous? And you can define the word and all that, but here's how I applied it to him. I said, it's when you say, I want. Kids do this all the time. You have kids, you know, I want. I want that. I want this. I want that. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter what you want. You child, me daddy, you know. Your wants don't matter. I raise you, right? But this is a principle from Scripture about when God says, I have a purpose and a will. I'm not God, he is. And when you took him and say, God, I want, I want, I want. That's covetous. Or look to your neighbor and say, I want, I want, I want. Well, what's career do? Well, it starts with the question, what do you want? Well, I want financial independence. I want to live on a beach all day. I don't want to work most of the time, you know. Well, if you want not to work for a long time, you have to work for a long time not to work for a long time. I'm sorry, did I just reveal what was behind the curtain there? Everyone tries to not work, but they have to work to get there, right? And so, covetous, that's what it looks like. And Paul's saying, mortify those things. Put them aside. These are idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on children of disobedience. Thank God you're saved by grace, right? Because sins abound, folks. In the which ye also walk sometimes. So Paul says, look, these things that I'm mentioning here sound bad, but don't think that's not me. I wasn't that bad. He says, you walked in them. You might still be doing it when you lived in them. When your life were those things, you walked in those things. If your life is your career, you're walking in your career, not in Christ. Right? That's what he's saying. And so, but now, he says, something has changed. But now that you're saved, now that you're in Christ, you also put off all these things. Along with the anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, which happens all the time if you don't have any grounding in truth. You start seeing this in societies that do serve getting ahead and being successful defined by the world's terms. You start seeing, and people wonder in Western Christian-influenced nations why this is, but this is why this is. People will scam you. Right? They cheat you. This happens with the rise of the internet because people all over the world start interacting with you. And you say, why are they so dishonest? Why are they scamming so many people? Because their desire is to be a... They have certain goals, like everyone in America does in their career. They're just not willing... They are willing, rather, to be dishonest to get it. That's a subtle change. In fact, many people in America to pursue their career will do dishonest things to get there, as long as they're not publicly dishonest. Right? They're just a little deceptive, I'll do it. But everyone has a line. What if you put away all lying? That I won't succeed in my career as much. If I'm so honest, then I might not be accepted in certain circles, right? I just can't talk about those things. This is what career sounds like. You're worshiping one thing and not the other. Verse 10, you have put on the new man now, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then he talks about you in Christ in Colossians chapter 3. All through this chapter. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. These are what your career, your life looks like. This is what it should look like. Okay? You attend a career seminar, and they tell you different strategies and principles in order to advance your career. Paul is telling you how to live life in Christ. If this isn't what you're practicing, then you got to question whether you're walking after Christ. Okay, what am I walking after? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I so upset when something interferes with this thing? Oh, because this thing I'm serving is my career. And when it interferes with that, I'm upset. 1 Timothy 3, what does Paul talk about when he talks about bishops and deacons and elders in the church? He does not say, choose the men that have successful careers. But that seems to be the pattern of many churches. Right? You have a successful career, you be a church leader. But the qualifications here are not credentials. They're not titles of the world. They have to be blameless. Husband, one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. One that rules well, verse 4, rules well his own house. Why does a house matter? Why does ruling your children matter? Either they're good at leadership or they're not. Nope, that's not the qualification for senior pastor. He's got 5 degrees in leadership. He's run 3 businesses. Doesn't qualify you to do this. Okay? Ruling your family and your children is actually superior than ruling a church. If you can't do that one, you definitely can't do the church. That's what Paul's saying here. It's not the other way around. People think, well, if he can operate a church, then he can definitely operate a family. False. That's a lie. If he can run a company, he can definitely deal with children. Not true. Okay? If you realize the truth of the scripture, you realize how important and difficult these things that God says to do are regarding your home. Amen. And the necessary spiritual skills it requires to do it. And how much more spiritual understanding you have than the greatest CEOs in the world. Okay? But the world has it backwards. Career has it backwards. And so they try to give you advice from those that are career-minded. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul says this, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in career." Right? No, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Those are their credentials that you're looking for if you're going to lead people in his church. That's what he's telling Timothy's young man. "Well, I'm thinking about getting my master's of divinity, maybe my doctorate of divinity. That'll help." "It will not," he says to Timothy. "This is what you need." Many Christians think that nowadays because universities abound everywhere and schools and curriculums. They think, if I just get the curriculum, if I get the certificate, the degree, then now I'd be a better servant for Christ. Not guaranteed, because so much of it is spiritually related. Where in the world can you practice serving other people in an environment that they won't destroy you if you fail? So we need grace, we need faith, we need patterns. God made the church, right? He didn't make a university. He didn't make an institute. He made the church for you to learn how to do that. Instead of listening to mentors who use time and chance, if you listen to Christ and learn from Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 21, learn from him, you'll learn to study to show thyself approved unto all those in your field. I mean, unto God, right? Which is the opposite. You'll learn to walk worthy of your vocation, which everyone knows is your earthly job. No, it's your vocation Christ gave you as a member of the body of Christ, as a steward of the mysteries. You'll learn to walk after the Spirit, which will help you, well, let's say it a different way. It will help you in every job that you take, but it's not something your employers are looking for. Okay, when you interview for a job, they're not looking at how well you walk into the Spirit. But it's amazing, though, when you are a Christian and you interview people for a job, you're trying to discern this. Do you have anything underneath the shell I'm looking at? Right? Walking into the Spirit will definitely help you in every relationship you have, including your work relationships. You'll learn in Christ to be faithful, something very valuable to employers, though they don't tell you. Right? And then ultimately, you get glory. And I don't mean the kind of glory that's covered in plastic with a plaque on the bottom. Right? I mean the kind of glory that lasts forever. Amen. The kind of glory that is the picture of the reflection that is the creation of this world. That's the glory you'll inhabit in. You say, "I like beaches." Well, God made beaches, number one, okay? And glory in heaven exceeds anything you've seen down here. Amen. Right? And that's what you have in Christ. So there's two paths. One is that you advance your career and you get to retire on earth on a beach that has all sort of microplastics on it. Or you get glory forever in Christ Jesus, and learn in the meanwhile to walk after the Spirit, to grow in wisdom, walk worthy of the vocation you have from a heavenly calling, and to know the true God who dwells in you now. Like, you want fulfillment. It doesn't happen because you said yes to your boss 1,000 times and climbed the ladder. True fulfillment comes, and you know this by experience, folks, true fulfillment doesn't come from that. It comes from you understanding who you are, understanding how to resolve relationships, having peace in your life and relationships, having love in your relationships, that you feel like a victor in those moments. But you can't put that on your resume. "I have a loving wife, 3 beautiful children, and the career-minded go, "Hey, he's not going to fit in here. He's not real career-minded, right? He's got another mind," and that's true. Raising your children to love the Lord is the first step, right? Raising them from a child to serve and love family, their family, having a family. That might mean they're a little bit more prepared in thinking that when I become of age as an adult, the first thing I do is not run off for a career, but rather run off for a family. I need a family. I need help. I need other people. I need siblings. I need family, or else I can't live through life. Because I've seen people who pursued a career at a young age, and they get 20 years later, and they wish they had a family. That's a problem that can't be resolved very easily, right? Serve a family, love your family, grow yourself in the church. If this is what's communicated, and that's the stages and the phases of life, is raise yourself to love the Lord, raise your children to love the Lord, serve a family, have a family, grow in the church, then what makes you think they'll leave the church? Why do they run towards colleges and away from church? Surely it's not because of what parents are saying. Yeah, it is. And everybody else. Let's not blame parents. Is this the culture of our world, folks? Right? Maybe they should see from their parents what it looks like, because every parent who has a family who's trying to serve Christ knows that the difficulty of working to provide for your family while raising children, while serving the Lord. Like, this is a challenge. That's a lot of responsibility, which is what maturity is defined as. But that's what you're patterning to your children. How to pay our bills and live life and love each other and serve the Lord at the same time. You don't pattern that as a grudge, as I can't wait until this is all over, but rather like this is what your life's going to be like in 20 years. You do that and learn how to do it with joy and love and peace. That cycle creates a good future for your society and your family. Right? But if you're communicating to your children, this is terrible, having children and my career at the same time. What do your children think? Well, I'm not having children. Right? And that, why do you think we have low birth rates apart from the infertility problems people have? Because of that mantra. They get in the way of my career. Have them later as a luxury, kind of like an advanced insurance policy. Once you get a career, then you can choose to have one if you want, if you think so. You learn a lot of lessons having a family. The Bible teaches you those things. God teaches you those things. Christ teaches you those things when you serve and subject yourself to the head. There are two minds between Christ and career. The career mind teaches you to believe in yourself. You've heard that language, right? Believe in yourself. You can do anything. You can do it. Believe in yourself. That's the mind you got to have for a career. If you're going to succeed at life, this is why so many motivational speakers exist now. Motivational speakers are the priests and pastors and prophets of the religion of career. You can do it. What does Christ teach? You're a sinner. What do they teach? Just put your mind to it. What does Christ say? Put your mind to me. Right? Like they're different doctrines. You can't serve both of them. So be careful what you're listening to. The career-minded says, don't bother yourself with guilt and things that don't advance your career. Like, focus yourself. Remove the toxic people from your life. You ever heard that one? If we did that in the church, I'd be standing here by myself. Right? It's like, that doesn't work. Christ says, I'm going to take a bunch of sinners, I'm going to save them by my grace, put them all in the same room. You're like, that's a recipe for disaster. No, it's a recipe for exercising, walking after the Spirit with one another, and crucifying our flesh with Christ. Because God's trying to teach us to walk that way. And everyone can learn that. You say, well, we're not helping our careers here. We're wasting time at church. We spend all this time in our career. You know how far we can get? You see the religion battle going on? Your career is not the point of life. Some people accidentally in the world fall upon this truth that careers offer a false hope. And they kind of give up on it. Like drop out of school, right? You've heard of this? And the career mind will go, what are you doing dropping out of school? Like they're failing career. They try to do something else. They're trying to explore life. If only they were taught there was something that could bring them satisfaction and fulfillment forever in knowing who they are in the true God. If only there was an organization that had some line to truth that can communicate to them what faith looked like. I'm being a little facetious here. You know, it's like this is what God made you for, folks. This is why we do what we do and study God's word and put it in our heart to communicate to those that are around us and the young in our family that this is it. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. You say, well, people still need to work. Of course, it's good to work. It's not your God, though. Amen. Right. Christ says you will fail. So believe him, not in yourself. People like to say, well, if I serve Christ, if I do what you're saying, just orient my whole life around Christ and serving him, then I'm going to sacrifice my career, right? As if serving a career doesn't require sacrifice at all. You sacrifice no matter what. You're choosing what to sacrifice to. Yes, when you orient your life around Christ, you will have to sacrifice things to him, right, for the sake of that. But if you serve career, you sacrifice other things as well. Just because you're sacrificing your career, this does not require you being irresponsible. Because remember, having a job making money is different than just a career. You can be totally responsible and sacrifice kill your career. You can still live in life. Many people have. Kill your career and you can still live a quiet, peaceful life. You can still live a life for the Lord. You can have a job. You can make money. You can make a lot of money and kill your career. Some people have made more money after they killed their career than otherwise. You say, well, no. If they make money, they're all ours. Rich people are career-oriented. Not all of them. That's why time and chance happens to people, folks. Sometimes money falls in people's laps. Time and chance. Other times it doesn't. Money's not the issue. We're not serving it. Okay? The career-minded, what it means to be career-minded is to have a willingness to sacrifice all things for your career. That means your family. That means ministry. That means Christ for the sake of your career. That's what it means to be career-minded. well, I'm working my career right now, therefore I put my family ministry and Christ aside. That's queer-minded, and you're sacrificing the wrong things to the wrong thing, right? What needs to happen is you to be Christ-minded, which means you sacrifice your career and all things to the things of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Queer makes you sacrifice your life, by the way, for nothing. So no. I'm going to achieve a position that I always dreamed of. Have you ever reached a position that you dreamed of? Okay? Now, I don't claim to be the most successful worldly person, but I have achieved a thing in my life that I had dreamed of when I was a small thing, one part of it, not the whole thing. And when you do get a thing that you thought, I always wanted that thing, and you get it, you know what? You realize it's not as important as you thought it was. Right? You're like, oh, yeah, I finally get to work from home, and yeah, it makes me lazier, and I kind of want something else now. Right? Like, you don't rest in eternal bliss after this. Career makes you sacrifice life for nothing. It's desires of your heart that turn out to be vain. A plaque, a gold watch, a beach chair. The whole beach is the whole cliche of retirement, right? Some people don't like the beach. I won't say anymore. Anyway, that's what people do. Christ's sacrifice for you to provide you peace and joy and eternal life and knowledge. That's what Christ did for you. So instead of you sacrificing the things of Christ to your career, maybe you should just say, you know, my purpose in career doesn't matter except for what Christ wants me to do. And if he wants me to provide for my own, then I'm going to have to work. Maybe I should do it more efficiently. Maybe I should figure out how I can work to provide most effectively. It's not to spend 18 hours a day working. That might force you to be more ingenious about how you work, honestly, of course. And I've talked to you before briefly, that's where free market economics came from, is Christians trying to figure out how to work more effectively to help poor people. It wasn't because they were worshiping money as God. They're like, people are starving here. How can we fix this? We should work better to do something God wants, right? That was the motivation, but we've totally distorted it. Now career is serve your career, right? And that's never how it was supposed to be. What God wanted. The mind of Christ warns you against career idolatry. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. We just don't listen to it. God warns us against this because he doesn't use the word of career. I mean, the King James is archaic after all, right? Instead of tongue in cheek. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, 15 and 16. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He says, if you understand spiritual things, to understand these truths that I'm telling you, you can have the mind of Christ. Well, what is the mind of Christ? The Corinthians didn't have it, that's for sure. They were pursuing the desires of their hearts. Philippians 2 describes a little bit about it. The book of Philippians is a pretty good exposition of the mind of Christ, if you want to know what Philippians is about. Because the Philippians themselves were overcome with Paul's ruining his reputation and career. Like, Paul, we love you, man. You're our apostle. We listen to you, but you're in jail now. Like, this doesn't look good for anyone, for you, for us. I mean, we're telling people that what Paul taught us was this, and they're going to say, well, Paul's in prison. And I'm going to go, right? There's nothing that ruins your career more faster than you going to prison. Politicians know this. That's why they throw people in prison, to ruin their career, right? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, if it's true, our unity here that we have in Christ and God and the Father and the Holy Spirit, he says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You see that strife and vainglory? That's what we're talking about today, career-minded. Okay, if you're career-minded, that's what you're doing. You are working and laboring and striving for vain glory. You think it's glorious. The world thinks it's glorious. It even shows you examples of that kind of glory, but it's vain. And he says, let nothing be done through vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. You know what doesn't advance your career? A lowly mind. It really doesn't. You want to get ahead, you got to be bold. You want to get ahead, you got to jump the line. You want to get ahead, you got to start first, right? You got to stand out. Then you read the Bible. Lowly mind. Man, I don't know how to reconcile. I'll do that at home. I'll have a private personal life of a lowly mind. Then in my public professional life, I'm a tiger, right? That's what people reconcile. They're trying to figure it out. But Paul says, no, the mind of Christ is to have a lowliness of mind. In verse 3, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's definitely not how you advance your career. Like, I'm trying to get ahead. That verse says, esteem that guy better than you. So that means I have to serve him. That means he's above me. That means my career's going backwards. You see the problem here? There's a mind of Christ and there's a career mind. One destroys the other. Right? Philippians 2 verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I can't get ahead in my career if I'm constantly helping you. Right? Paul says that's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ. He was equal with God. He humbled himself and obeyed on earth to die. Now, he was a carpenter. He did work. He took his responsibilities and kept them. But he was not known for his career. What do you mean? Christians say. He had the greatest career. He died on a cross at 33 years old. Right? That is not success by any means of the career religion. But by truth, it was a great success. Right? And it showed an example and a pattern for which we should also think in our mind. Not that we have to die at 33, but the idea of sacrificing ourselves for other people. And what better place to do that than in the places that God ordained it to be initially, which is the person in the bed next to you and in the house next to you. And then the neighbors next to them. That's how you serve them. That's the mind of Christ. But you don't get rewarded for that on this side of glory. Okay? So it's opposite of a career mind. That's what the mind of Christ looks like, however. Career identity. What about your identity? Career identity diminishes your identity to your job title. It puts a job title in a workplace next to your name. Justin Johnson works at that corporation, does that title. That's what's on your business cards, right? There's nothing wrong with business cards. Nothing wrong with telling people that you work, saying this is what I do at my job. But to think your business card defines who you are is a diminishing of who you are. It's an insult, you understand. Justin Johnson, garbage collector, right? I haven't seen many business cards like that, but we need garbage collectors, right? Work needs to be done. Oh, Justin Johnson, astrophysicist, rocket scientist, MD, PhD, MD, every D. Oh, got to listen to that guy. But what's Paul say? It doesn't matter your degree, your profession on earth, right? What you profess. It doesn't mean that's who you are. How many times do people with professional degrees disagree with themselves, with each other and themselves, right? You can always find an expert that disagrees with another expert. That's why science fails often. To diminish your identity to your skills, what about those who don't have skills, don't work in the right place, don't have the right job title? All of these career-minded identity traits are things that are held before the judgment of the world around you, strangers, your neighbors. This is why we live in a society now where influencers is a job. It's a career, right? The career thing is up for questioning. It's only happened for about 10 or 12 years. Like, it's not really a long time. I wonder how long influencers can influence. And you see some of the more aged ones that aren't really that aged, they're middle aged, are looking more like, why are you on YouTube, It's for young people, right? Or whatever it is. Influencers is a job. But what's influencers' orientation? They're called influencers, but they're trying to appeal that their judges are their viewers. They're judged by people in the world. Okay? I've been on YouTube longer than many influencers, not on purpose, just because it was a means of communication with people. But you don't get more followers by telling people what they don't like and doing things they don't ask you to do. If you want to find the critique and judgment of the world, put yourself on YouTube. You'll get every critique on the planet. Need better lighting, speak slower, need more hair, whatever it is. You get every critique. Then maybe we'll follow you. That's what career identity does, the same thing, right? Well, they got degrees and look at their experience and look who recommends them, look at all the recommendations they got. But who are they really? Oh, no, that's who they are. Look at the resume. They dedicated their life to this. Really? And again, everybody knows they really didn't. They've segregated their private and professional life. Who they really are is their private life, but who they pretend to be is the professional life. That's career. Career's lying to you. What Christ does is says, I'll tell you who you really are. You're a sinner, and I'm going to make you a saint. I'm going to teach you how to live and walk in me so that your private and professional life can be the same person. Still have privacy, but it's like the same person, right? You subject everything to me. He's the judge. No longer are you held in judgment among everyone else. You're only held in judgment before Christ. Paul says, no one judges me but Christ. Amen. And he said that to people who were judging him. And they were like, Paul, we're not going to follow you unless you change your behavior. Paul's like, you're not my judge. Paul, it's how you lose followers, right? He's not career-minded. He's Christ-minded. Doesn't matter, right? I'm subjecting that to Christ. Now, he loved the Corinthians. He wants to help them. And that's why he communicates to them. But he says, I'm not judged of you. Your judge is the Lord. And on an earthly scale, those that love you. What is better? For you and your career to be judged by peers and strangers that you wouldn't know unless you worked with them. Or you to be judged by the very people that love you and you love them. Like your spouse, my family, they judge me better than you do. Because they know me better than you do. And you know what? They also love me. Strangers don't love you. Okay, your employer, your colleagues, though you might develop relationships with them, it's not designed for they're going to love you. Once you leave that company, once you retire from your career, you know what happens? I've seen it again and again. People retire from a career after many, many decades of working in a place, and people give them a farewell party and say, we really miss you. We really like hanging out with you and being your work colleague, and then they forget about them, right? They're retired, and you don't call the retiree back every week. You're saying, you're kind of getting in the way here. We're working, right? Then the retiree goes, well, what's my purpose in life? I thought it was this company and my career. You've been lied to. Yeah. All right? But what happens after 50 or 60 years serving your family? Your kids are growing up, and they got other kids, and they got other kids. Then your family comes around, and you look around, and you say, what's my purpose in life? That's what it is. Yeah. Look. Love. Christ. Family. That's what it should have been. But you weren't told that when you were younger. Right? So you see what I'm preaching here. I'm trying to preach Christ and what God ordains for us and not simply a career. Career pushes you to be the best, to be independent, to be isolated from others for the purpose of success, to climb that mountain. And when you get there, you'll be all by yourself. And Christ, instead of pushing you to be the best, he gives you rest. He says, it's not your work. It's what I did. Right? He wants you to be one with God, unity, and unity with the church and with your spouse. That's why marriage is two becoming one. And with your family, he teaches unity and how to reconcile, bring things back together after they've been split apart. That's what Christ provides. Much better for your well-being, a modern term, than career. Okay? So there's a false dichotomy between your professional and private life. You need to be saved by Christ and make that who you are. Amen. You work because you need to work, because it's the right thing to do because of Christ's instruction and command. You have two different hopes between career and Christ. Career's ultimate success is when you finally achieve that thing that is the end of your career goals, the contribution you made to society when you climbed the career ladder and dedicated your life to that work. But what is society? Who is that? You don't even know them, okay? I don't preach what I preach because of the viewers that I have online. I preach it for you. I know you, right? But if you don't achieve, you don't contribute, you don't climb, you're failing at your career. People even feel that sometimes when they're serving career. They go, I feel like I'm failing at my career. What do you mean, career? Are you paying bills? Yeah. So what do you mean, career? Are you serving Christ? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you're serving career, not Christ. You won't feel like a failure, right? Career teaches you to spend your life to serve yourself. And in the end, you get retirement and recognition by people who also die. In fact, many of them will die when you get that age. At the end of your career, men look for everything Christ provides for you only too late in life. When you finish your career, people start looking for meaning and purpose. Nowadays, the trend is not even to retire. Once they retire from their career, they start something else. They call it a retirement career, a new career, because that's all they know, career. So now I have a retirement career. I do something meaningful, right? Nothing wrong with doing things and work. But when your life is defined by that, that's what it looks like. People start looking for meaning and purpose and joy. They live life with a broken relationship, sacrifice to their careers, so they start to reconcile with people at the end of their life. They try to seek forgiveness so they can have peace at the end of their days. Well, Christ teaches you this at the very beginning. You get saved by learning reconciliation. You get saved by having peace with God. And then you learn your life to walk that way. And every day you walk that way. maybe you wouldn't have made so many wrong decisions sacrificing to your career if that were the case that you learned it. In Christ, your ultimate success is found in glory, of course, at the judgment seat of Christ. What do I have to look forward to in Christ, you say? When you die, you face Christ in judgment, your Savior, your Lord, the one who loved you and died for you. And on that day, will be the ultimate rejection of everything that caused you to fail, right? It'll be separated from you. Right now, even as a Christian, you walk with sin daily. But on that day, I'm in glory. On that day, my sin and the bad works get burned up, and on that day is the beginning of eternal glory. So it's the beginning. See, Christ promises you a hope of a beginning when this earth is all over, when this life is all over, when your career is done. But career doesn't help you get there. It won't help you know what is judgment seat of Christ. It keeps you from receiving rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. But Christ gives you hope for eternity. It teaches you to be an unashamed workman, serving other people with truth. And so when you don't have more people serving Christ than career, what you get is people, even in their workplace and their jobs, becoming less truthful, having less character, less integrity, because they're not serving Christ at all. They're serving themselves. And that will fail you, folks. Christ doesn't reject doctors and lawyers and engineers, but their jobs. They're not your life. Amen. Don't make it that. What is your life? Colossians 3, verse 4 says, Christ is your life. Set your affections on things above. By the way, those things above, don't think that's like heavenly clouds and, you know, harps. Those are things that God gives and Christ gives to you. Know where they come from. Where does salvation come from? From above, from Christ. Where does the peace of the Lord come from? From the Lord, from above, from Christ. It's those things you set your affections on attaining, on getting. The fruit of the Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit come from? Above, he dwells in you. Those are the things from above you should set your affections on that you can have. Don't set your affections on things that will go away once you quit your career and your job, right? On things that don't persist with you in the next life. 1 Timothy 4, 8, Paul says, godliness benefits not only this life, but the life which is to come. Amen. Right? Anything else to improve your body and your career doesn't help you with that. If your profession, your job, your career prevents you from serving Christ, change it. Okay? It's not worth it. It really isn't. When you get to the mountain peak of career and you're finally alone and the only family you have are the colleagues you spent 40 years with, then you leave it all, you'll see the hopelessness of serving a career the rest of your life. It'll be a waste of your life. So that's the warning this morning, is that serve Christ, choose Christ over career, pursue, set your affections on the things of knowing Christ, so that the mark that you are trying to reach when serving Christ is in glory with all the saints and joy forever. That the glory is not worthy to be compared to whatever sufferings you face in this life. I don't have a career, I'm going to suffer a lot, be inconvenient, uncomfortable. Yeah, that's life. No amount of career effort is going to remove all suffering. Okay? And so Christ will do that in glory. Hopefully that helped distinguish in your mind in Christ and career and helps resolve some of that tension. Any questions or comments about? Yeah, Ray?
Yeah,